Good morning.
Good morning.
Isn't it a beautiful day today? It was a little chilly yesterday for me. Today's just gorgeous. Any place we would rather be than right here, right now? It's a good day to praise God. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 25. 1 Samuel chapter 25. We're going to look at a story this morning of a really wise individual, a wise woman, a really mean man, and a powerful man. And we're going to see God in all the middle of it. And I think as we go through the story, you'll be able to relate to a lot of different things in this. It's the story of David and Abigail. And it could also be called the story of Nabal and Abigail. We start out and understand we're at a time where David has been anointed as the next king of Israel, but Saul's the king. Saul is, he's still the king, but he hasn't been removed, but he's been told he's going to be removed. Saul is very jealous of David. He's been pursuing David, tried to kill David. David, two different times, approaches Saul and shows that he could have killed Saul, but he doesn't. And we're in between those two times. And David and his men, about 600 men, are still on the run. And so David in 1 Samuel 25, his men are out with Nabal's shepherds. They're out in the field and they spend some time out there with them. But the story starts in verse 2, which tells us there was a man named Nabal. He was very wealthy, very rich man. So he's also a very mean man. He was harsh, badly behaved. He was a jerk, right? Just a royal, mean jerk. But his wife was the opposite. She was nice. She was wise. She was beautiful. She was a great woman. And so David and his men, they're on the run from Saul. And they spend some time around Nabal's shepherds and his men out in the field. And they have some interaction. And it's very peaceful. And it's very courteous to one another. In fact, David's men actually help Nabal's men. They provide some protection. And David realizes it's time for them to... It's time for them to have a feast. It's really the time of harvest. And so in verse 7 we read, it says, David says, "I hear that you have shearers. Now your shepherds have been with us. We did them no harm. They missed nothing all the time they were in Carmel. Ask your young men and they will tell you. Therefore let my young men find favor in your eyes, for we come on feast day." This is a message David has sent to Nabal. He sent it with 10 of his young men. He sends this message to Nabal. He says, "Hey, we've been spending time with your guys out in the field, and we know it's time for feast." In other words, it's a time of plenty for a rich man. Okay, he's already rich, and this is a time of plenty. You guys that, or you ladies that garden, that you have a garden, when your garden produces, oftentimes it produces so much so quickly, you can't eat it all. It's a time of sharing, okay? And that's what time this was. So David sends this message. He says, "Please give whatever you have at hand to your servants and to your son David." Now, at this point, understand, David is well known, right? Remember, Saul has killed thousands, David tens of thousands. That came after David and Goliath. David is well known. But we're going to see the answer, the response from Nabal, the mean jerk. Here's what Nabal says to these 10 young servants of David. He says to the servants, he says, "Who is David? Who is the son of Jesse?" Now, if we look in Scripture at the phrase "son of Jesse," oftentimes it was used as a ridicule to David. Saul uses it when he's jealous of David. There's an occasion where there's a meal, and David should have normally been there. Jonathan, Saul's son, was there, and David is not. And King Saul is angry, and he asks Jonathan, "Where is David?" And he says, "Son of Jesse." This phrase oftentimes was used in a negative way to David. Okay, and Nabal is using it this way here. Nabal, first of all, he knows good and well who David is. It's just really hard to imagine. See, Abigail, we'll find out in a minute, she knows who David is. Everyone knows David is the next king. Everyone knows David is a great warrior, and everyone knows he's on the run from Saul. They're trying to kill each other, so to speak. And so the jerk, Nabal, says, "Who is David? Who's the son of Jesse?" There are many servants these days who are breaking away from their masters. That's his excuse for not giving David any food at festival time. Now, Nabal could have refused and done it politely, but he's not a politely kind of guy, okay? So he doesn't. So he adds insult to injury. But understand here, Nabal's reason is, he says, "How can I trust that David's a good guy? That David, you know, maybe David's a bad guy. Maybe Saul's a good guy." Have you ever had someone give you an answer and you knew that wasn't the real reason? Maybe you were asking for something. Maybe you were asking, you know, what's this or what's that? You have some interaction with someone and they give you a reason. They give you an explanation, but you know good and well that's not the real reason. You ever have that? Because it just doesn't make sense. Yes, it is a reason, but it doesn't fit with what's going on. And that's what Nabal's doing here. Nabal's just a jerk. That's the reason. He could have said, "You know, I'm just a mean-hearted, selfish jerk, and I'm not going to give you anything." And then look at verse 11. "Shall I take my bread, my water, my meat that I have killed for my shearers?" You notice anything here? I know I'm adding some emphasis, but you'll miss that. It's easy to miss if we're not careful. Nabal is prideful. He's prideful. And so not only does he say no, but he says it in a very, very disrespectful way. Guess what David does? When this gets back to David, David says to his men, "Every man strap on his sword." Now let me back up for just a second. Nabal. How do you feel about Nabal?
He's a jerk.
He's a jerk. Thank you. Thank you. He's a jerk. Nabal is a jerk. I don't like him. I don't like him at all. And when I read that David says, "Every man strap on his sword," I want to cheer. This is like watching a movie, you know, and there's a point in the movie, sometimes the audience just can't help it. We just cheer. I'm thinking, yes, I like this. "Every man strap on his sword." And they did. David strapped on his sword. Now remember, this is the one who killed Goliath. Now God did it, but David was no slouch in battle. David has killed his tens of thousands. David was a warrior. And he had fighting men with him. And 400, they had 600. He took 400 with him. What's the count today, by the way, Steve? What's our total? Who's our counter? Richard, what's our number today? Sorry, Steve. That's the wrong guy. I like 448. Let's go with that. 448. Record. I was thinking 250. 248. 250 of us. Look around and add 150. True? Is my math right? Trying to get to 400. And then imagine all those fighting men. Right? That's what David is going to take to Nabal. I like this. I like this part of the story. How do you feel about David's plan? He's going to go and he's going to take care of every living male that's a part of Nabal's group, which would be a relatively large number. Okay? Because he has servants, he's a very wealthy man. I'm at the ball field yesterday, and I've watched a number of, you know, sporting events in the past. Yesterday I got to see something I hadn't seen before. One of the opposing team's coaches were getting a little chippy with the officials, you know, getting a little mouthy. and getting a little out of hand. And I didn't hear it all, but I heard some of it. And then all of a sudden, at one point, the umpire points to him and gives it this. Parking lot, you're gone. Right? And I thought, that's pretty cool. That's pretty good. You know, he's out of line. He's being a jerk. Right? And when that happens, there's just something within us that says, I want them to get what they have coming. Well, it's not long. About the time that coach gets gone, next thing you know, another one of their coaches says one thing. I mean, just Pete. He's gone. Two of them are gone. I mean, we're having to hustle and find. We're having to, look at the parents. Can't, you know, we're about to pull somebody off the street to help coach this team. I have to admit, I kind of liked it. It's just that part of you that sees someone acting wrong and you want fairness to be brought to you. You want justice. You want what somebody has coming. That's where we are in this story. But one of Nabal's young servants hears about this. He hears that this is going back to David and what's going to happen. And he goes, as a smart young man does, and he doesn't go to Nabal. Nabal's a jerk. He goes to Abigail, the wife. And he tells Abigail. And he tells Abigail what Nabal did. In fact, he says in verse, if you'll look in verse 14, at the end of 14, he says, Nabal railed at them. What that means is, literally it means to hurl insults. Nabal probably said more than what we have recorded. But this servant understands all that, and he's telling Abigail how David's men were actually good to us in the field, how they helped us. So Abigail gets her plan together. She wastes no time. She gets together food. She gets loaves. She gets wine. She gets sheep. So she prepares meat, grain, raisins, figs. They have some money, remember. So the wife, Abigail, she gets all this together and takes it to David. She's going to try to save this situation. She goes to David. Now, we get a little more information about how David's doing. By the way, how angry do you think David is right now? Remember, he said 400 of you strap your sword on. How insulted do you think David felt? How offended do you think David felt? How embarrassed? How wronged? Verse 27, David had said, surely in vain I have guarded all this fellow has in the wilderness so that nothing was missed of all that belonged to him, and he's returned me evil for good. David said, all I've done is be good to this man, and now he's going to do wrong to me. God do so to the enemies of David, and more also, if by morning I leave not so much as one male of all who belong to him. How mad is David? Furious. Rage. He's mad. Abigail comes to him, and she's going to show great patience and wisdom with David. In fact, I want us to notice four really wise things that she says and that we can take from this. She goes to David. She says, let not my lord regard this worthless fellow Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Now, the name Nabal in the Hebrew means fool. Right? It does. Now, what mother would name their son fool? I don't know. I really don't know. All I know is in Hebrew, this means fool. Okay? Whether it's irony, well, I don't understand. Anyway, but that's what his name means. And Abigail says that's what his name means, and that's who he is. But I, your servant, did not see the young men of my Lord whom you sent. Now then, and Abigail, when she speaks to David, she uses such respect. She'll call David my Lord, which would be appropriate. But then she said, when she talks about God, she says the Lord. So, you have to kind of translate a little bit. She says, verse 26, "My Lord, David, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, because the Lord has restrained you from blood guilt and from saving with your own hand, now let your enemies and those who seek to do evil to my Lord be as Nabal." She points out immediately, she says, God has restrained you, David, from saving with your own hand. Lesson number one is pride handles things my way. And Abigail says, David, I know you are about to handle things your way, saving with your own hand. David's way is there's about to be a lot of males in this family dead, including servants, including this servant who came to tell Abigail, right? Do you think any of Nabal's men that are in his family or in his service, on his payroll, do you think any of them are good men, good people? You think any of them are husbands? Any of them are fathers? I mean, they're about to all die for one jerk. And that's because David is about to handle this David's way. She says, verse 27, "Now let this present that your servant has brought to you, my Lord," she's talking to David, "be given to the young men who follow my Lord. Please forgive the trespass of your servant. For the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord is fighting the battles of the Lord, and evil shall not be found in you so long as you live." Abigail says, God will take care of you. It's a reminder, God will reward us. When people wrong us, and instead of letting our pride drive the bus, that we humble ourselves and let God take care of things, God will reward us. And that's what Abigail is saying here. She said, David, you don't have to do this. God will reward you. Verse 29, "If men rise up to pursue you and to seek your life, the life of my Lord shall be bound," so this is David's life, "shall be bound in the bundle of the living, in the care of the Lord your God. And the lives of your enemies he shall sling out as from the hollow of a sling." Abigail says God will take care of it. And I like how she says it, that David would be bound in the bundle of the living. What that means is literally it's the book of life. Bound in the book of life, that David, you'll be preserved. God will take care of you. And it's a reminder that God will protect us. Now, I'm not talking about someone breaks into your house and they're harming your family. I'm not talking about someone has assaulted you and you need to defend yourself, right? Or be badly injured or killed. We're not talking about that. We're talking about someone has wronged you, insulted you, offended you, treated you wrongly. They were out of line. There was no place for it. How about this one? There's no excuse for it. And that's what's happened here. And Abigail says, God will protect. Verse 30. "When the Lord has done to my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you and has appointed you prince over Israel." Here's where we learn that Abigail knows David's the next king. She knows this, and probably just about every... You'd have to be living under a rock not to know David is the next king. And she says, "When God has appointed you prince over Israel, my Lord shall have no cause of grief or pangs of conscience for having shed blood without cause." So let's pause there for a second. That's what David was about to do. When I read how big of a jerk Nabal was, and when I read David saying, "Strap on your swords," I'm ready to cheer. I think this is good. But when we stop and take a deep breath, David was about to commit murder. Unduly. Not justified. Right? Homicide. Shedding blood without cause. Or for my Lord working salvation himself. That's to handle it my way. You ever driven through a neighborhood that says, "We don't call the police"? seen signs? There's a neighborhood not far from here. They don't call the police. They handle it their way. Okay? Again, scenario of someone breaking into your home is one thing. We're not talking about that. But she says that David will have no cause for grief for working salvation himself. When the Lord has dealt well with my Lord, then remember your servant. She reminds David, because David's plan was to kill all the males. She says, God's way leaves no regret. That's the point. David, let God handle this, because when God handles it, you won't have pangs of conscience. You won't have grief later when you calm down and realize, you know what, I really went too far. I really didn't need to do that. I really should have let God handle that. I should have blessed instead of cursed. And when we read on in the story, guess what? 10 days later, God strikes Nabal down. David listens to Abigail's wisdom, which is godly wisdom, and David lets God handle it, and 10 days later, God kills Nabal. Humility. Humility is not weakness. Humility is not, I didn't do anything because I couldn't. It's not, I didn't do anything because I was cowardly. Humility is, I have the power to do something, but I don't. And I like this picture. You know, the strength of a lion. The strength of a lion. But the power used of a kitten. And that's restraint. And it's hard to do. Isn't it? Our pride makes it hard to do. And the old pride and the words of Satan says, you don't deserve this. Nobody's going to treat me this way. That's inexcusable, out of line, and I'm not going to stand for it. Have we ever heard things like that? Ever said things like that? Ever thought things like that? I think we can all identify with this, can't we? And it's pride. I want us to close with 1 Peter 3, verses 8 and 9. 1 Peter 3, 8 and 9. Peter says, finally, all of you, have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. God wants to bless us, but He tells us, you trust me. You trust me. We were called to be a people who bless. Always. When people curse us, we are to bless. When people treat us wrongly, we are to bless. We are to be people who are humble. And God will lift us up. Amen? God will reward us. We're going to close with a song, Humble Yourselves. And there may be someone here this morning, you may be in a position where you know you've been needing to come and give your life to Christ. You've been needing to come and ask the church to pray for you. Or maybe there's something just heavy on your heart. Maybe you've been needing to humble yourself and let us lift you up to God and let God reward you. If there's a need you have, please come while we stand and sing.
Humble yourselves inside of the Lord. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.